Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God forever. Thank you. Thank you for when we walked in this morning, you could just feel the presence of the Lord. And so thank you for manifesting his presence, for calling upon him to want to join us today. For after all, we're his bride. He's our groom. This is his church. So what better place for God to be in this morning than in the house, in his house. Amen. And so just if you will, open up your Bibles to the book of Mark. Chapter 5. Last Sunday, I was attending church at the church that I go to over in Lake Forest. God had given me a word, a prophetic word, to speak out to the congregation. And so as I chewed on the word afterwards, I thought, you know what? I think I want to study that word. I want to study it out. And so that led me to bring you this word today. And so the word, I'll just briefly, because, it's a spontaneous word, and so it's not written down, it's not memorized, but it was about the woman with the issue of blood, and she kept saying, and so I had read during the week in my devotional, that focus that the woman kept saying. She kept saying. She kept saying. And so the word that I delivered to the church was about, the reason why the woman kept saying was because she heard. She said what she heard. And what she heard was Jesus speaking. And so because she heard it, she kept saying it, created her faith to be able to believe. And so in essence, that was the word that was delivered to the church on Sunday. And so I studied it out. And so I want to bring you, a little teaching on that. And so in Mark 5, I'm going to read verses 25 through 34. And this is where you'll find that story about this woman with the issue of blood kept saying. Are you with me in verse 25? Now a certain woman, one would think that certain was her name. There's no name there for this woman. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and she touched his garment, for she said, and she kept saying, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well or healed, depending on the translation that you're reading. Verse 29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. Verse 33. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Be healed of your affliction. Powerful story. Let us pray. Father God, we come to you today in the name that's above all names, that name that has power, that name that looses, releases, heals, and forms miracles even in the womb, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the name of Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray to you, Father God. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're the Spirit of the living God abiding in us. And so be by your Spirit, you help us to pray the will of God, the word of God. We pray to you today, dear Father. We pray in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for the word, the living word. We thank you that this word is powerful. It's anointed. There's a return on this word that comes back to us, Lord Jesus. I thank you that you are the living word, Lord Jesus. I thank you for these stories that tell and reveal those that went before us, Lord Jesus. I thank you for this certain woman. Lord, for she could be us. I thank you for you, Jesus, for your love, your mercy. I thank you for the things that you've done, the things that you do, who you are. You're the healer, you're the miracle worker, you're the savior, you're the deliverer. You are all these things. You're God, our encourager. You've got our nation in your hands. You've got our lives in your hands. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that there's power in the name. There's anointing in the name to loose, release, to heal, to save. I thank you that whatever we have need of, you are, you do. And I thank you more than that, Lord Jesus, that you are these things in us. That who you are in us. Not by might, not by power, but by Jesus. By the power that Jesus is, by the anointing that Jesus is, we can do these things, Lord Jesus. For you said, great and mighty things shall you do in my name. For those who believe, miracles will follow their ministry, their lives. I thank you, Lord, for healing this certain woman. I thank you for healing us. I thank you for saving us. I thank you, as my brother said, for the many, many miracles that you've given us. I thank you for the miracles that are about to take place. I thank you for the healings that are about to take place. I thank you for the souls that are about to be saved. I thank you that you're the God in the house. That you're here today, Lord Jesus, so willing. If people will press in. So willing to heal, to touch, to save, to transform. So willing to do what they have need of, my God. So I ask now by the Spirit of the living God to stir up a hunger and a thirst in us. Stir us up, Lord Jesus. Stir, even after all these years, stir in us a hunger and a desperation, a fresh and a new for you, a new wanting you, a new desiring you, a new hunger for you, Lord Jesus. Fill us to the overflow, Lord Jesus. Baptize us in the Holy Spirit, my God. Come upon us, Lord Jesus. Overshadow us like you did Mary. Overshadow, impregnate us with your vision. Impregnate us with the plans that you have, not only for our future, but for future generations, my God. Do with us, Lord, whatever you have need to do, so that the will of God, so that the kingdom of God is done on earth. Do with us whatever you have need of, Lord Jesus. Today I declare this altar, Father God, souls and lives resurrendered, rededicated, recommitted to you, to the glory of God and the purpose of God. I declare not one person in this house, Father God, shall leave unchanged, Lord Jesus. I thank you that today you are still breaking chains that bind us. That you are breaking the shackles off of us, Lord. You're removing scales from our eyes, Lord Jesus. Where we lack understanding, God is giving us understanding, clarity, so that we can see, so that we can do what needs to be done with what we see. You are healing those that are deaf, Lord, that cannot hear your voice. You are healing the lazy hearts, Lord Jesus. Those that are so comfortable sitting on the sidelines, you're healing them of lethargy, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that faith is being stirred here in this place. We stir the wells of faith. We are stirring the wells of our matriarchs and our patriots once again. That well of faith is being stirred up to be able to believe for more. To be able to believe you when the report says just the opposite. To be able to believe you when our body is still hurting, Father God, and looking lame and weak, Lord. But to believe you that we are whole and strong, Lord Jesus. That we are mighty soldiers, that we're the army of God going forward, seizing and taking back the ground for Jesus. To be able to believe that nothing is impossible to us if we believe in you, Lord Jesus. Nothing, nothing is impossible. I thank you, Lord, that you are stirring up the gifts in us. Once again, the gifts in demonstration, Lord. No house of God without the gifts in demonstration, Lord. Because it's who you are, it's what you do, Lord, to bring in the lost, to encourage the saved. You are our God. Do what you need to do. Do what you desire to do to fulfill your vision upon this earth, Lord. Even as we lift up our nation to you, Lord Jesus, you can take a mess and turn it into a message again, my God. You are seated on the throne. You're the God who's in charge. You're the one true God. We surrender to you, Lord, and to no one else. We bow down to you and to no Jehovah, hallelujah, the Messiah, the Christ, the resurrected, risen King. To you we bow. To you we yield, my God. And so I thank you for this message today. I thank you for these who are here today, Father God. I thank you for those who could not be here. We bless them, Lord. As I bless this pastor, Pastor Monette, Lord Jesus. As I bless the leadership in this house. As I bless this family, Lord. My brethren, my family, friends, Father God. We bless them. I bless them in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. So what I want us to focus on today is that, first of all, in verse 25, we read about a woman who has given no name. Can I tell you something? When you are not identified by Christ and through Christ, you yet have no name. You yet have not the identity that God wants to give you. I am who I am only because of Jesus Christ. And my identity is found in and through Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, you still don't know who you are. A certain woman. And yet God saw to it that she would be in the book, the Bible. This certain woman, so that we might read of her, understand her, maybe even identify with her. Because she walks into the story as a stranger, but she walks out of the story as a daughter. Do you understand that? You walked in as a stranger, but today we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. I came to him as a stranger, but today my identity is I'm a daughter of the King. A certain woman. For 12 years she was hemorrhaging. 12 long years. This woman had a flow of blood. She was hemorrhaging. What we see in this story from the beginning to the very end is not only the healing power of God, but the miracle working power of God. The miracle is that she's alive after 12 years. Hemorrhaging every single day. The word of God says there was a flow of blood, not a trickle. There's a difference between a trickle and a flow. She was flowing every day for 12 years. The miracle is she's alive. She had the miracle before she had her healing. Do you understand that? But not knowing who God was, she couldn't give him glory. Are you following what I'm saying to you? Can I tell you something? God is performing healings and miracles to those who don't even know him. Praise God. Listen, I had healings in my life. I had a miracle in my life before I knew that it was God who was healing me and performing miracles in my life. Because he loves the lost. That's why you came to him, because he loved you when you were lost. Twelve years. And verse 26 tells us, and she suffered many things. I don't know about you, but I've been in treatments for many years of my life. You know, Pastor Monette, sometimes the treatment is worse than the disease. I know my husband suffered many years, not from the disease, from the treatment, Pastor. And I would be there with him at every treatment. How painful, how invasive the treatment can be. Not to help cure the disease, but to help restrain the disease. Because how many know there's no man, there's no treatment that can cure. Only Jesus cures. Word of God tells us she suffered many things from many physicians. That tells me that she went around looking for a physician who might help her. Many physicians, different treatments, different meds, even medication. The nausea, losing of hair, the rash. Who knows the extent of her suffering? Only Jesus. Wasn't just the issue of blood, my brothers and sisters. She suffered many things. And then she went bankrupt. Word of God says she had spent all that she had. This would cause her to lose all of her finances. She was bankrupt financially. Oh, but God's on the scene and things are about to change. Hallelujah. How many know when God's on the scene, your life will change? When God's in his house, the house is affected. It's transformed. It's synergized. It's united. It's bonded because God's in the house. Things can't remain the same when God's in the boat. Come on, we've read stories about God being on the boat. When God's in the boat, don't fret, don't worry, go to sleep. You just rest. He's in charge. But see, you got to have the faith to believe that. And what that really means, when we say you got to have the faith to believe that, what that really means is you got to have that kind of a relationship with God. Because it's only through the relationship that you have with God that you know God. The extent that you know. See, I can't trust somebody I'm not in relationship with. That simple. The more I know you, the more I trust you. Or I don't. Because I know you. And you're not trustworthy. Or I know you. And you're so trustworthy. She had spent all that she had and was no better. My brothers and sisters, after all that suffering, all that pain, different doctors, and how many know, even when there's no pain attached to the treatment, this is a little delicate, but you're so vulnerable because some treatments are so invasive. And you have to even gird yourself up just to allow the doctors to do what the doctors think they need to do. And even when they think they need to do it, they don't really know what they're doing. They're just treating you, hoping this will work for you. And there you are, frail and vulnerable. But you do it because you have faith in that doctor that this treatment is going to do it. See, the woman already had faith. Not in God, though. In man. But the day came. But the day came. How many know the day came for you, too? But that day came. Hallelujah. when she heard about Jesus. How many know from that day on, her whole life changed? Because she heard about Jesus. She heard who he was. She heard what he did. She heard the stories. She heard about the healings. She heard about the miracles. She heard that he saved. See, she heard. And when she heard, she believed. The word doesn't tell us that she saw. She hadn't yet seen, but she heard. And can I tell you something? Faith cometh by, not necessarily by seeing, but hearing. She heard. There was seed that she heard that went right into her heart. How many of us sadly sit in church Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, we're hearing, but we're still not believing. But this woman heard, and she believed. Praise God for this woman. I like her. She's got a name, and I'm going to find out what it is when I get up there. I'm saying, where's the certain woman? Where's the certain woman? Because I know she's got a name now. Hallelujah. She heard about Jesus. She hadn't yet seen him. Who was it that needed to see so that he could believe? And what do we call him? Doubting Thomas. Some of us want to see before we believe. God says, no, you got to hear and believe. That's why we preach the word. So that you can hear the word. So that your faith will grow. You see, having heard and heard and heard and heard, your faith will grow. Because faith cometh by hearing and heard and heard, and then you believe. And that's why we preach Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday and Friday. And whenever God opens that door to share and preach and teach. So that one person might hear and believe. And maybe be healed, saved, delivered. Whatever they have need of. The power of hearing the word of God. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd. And she did what? Touched his garment. Some Bibles, some different translations, the hem of his garment. Anybody ever wonder why she didn't say, and she came behind him to touch him? Me, I would have wanted to touch him. If he's in the crowd, I'm not going to bother with the hem of his garment. That's just me. I'm not going to bother with trying to touch his cloak, his jacket, his shirt, his suit, his tie. Jesus is here. I want to touch him. But we have to understand why this certain woman was not pushing in to touch him, but was going to be satisfied with just touching the garment. We're going to see why. For she said, thank God the woman spoke. Thank God the woman said, because you see, she had to first think it and then speak it. See, when you believe God, faith requires that you think and you speak. Romans, where am I going? 8, 9, and 10, or 10, 9, and 8? 10, 9, and 8. Confession with your mouth unto Lord as your Savior. If you believe, you will confess with your mouth. That confession is important to God. Speaking is important to God. Do you know why I know that that's important to God? Because in the beginning, he spoke the stars. He spoke the sun. He spoke the moon. What are you speaking? Speaking is important to God, but you can't speak until you think. So see, she heard and then she started thinking. Oh, I'm going to get there. I don't know where the crusade is. I don't know where the outreach event, but I'm going to, she was thinking that. And then when she was in the midst of him, she spoke. She said, there's power in the tongue. There's power in your words. Your words. Your words have power. She thought and then she said. 28, for she said, if only I may just touch his clothes. Listen to this. I shall be made well. I shall be. Any doubt there? Do you realize God must have looked at this certain woman and said the potential in this woman? She's only heard. Now she's seen me for the first time. And she understands that I have the power to heal her. She will be healed. She will be healed. And she said, I shall be healed. Not if God's in a good mood today, I'll get my healing. If God is anointed today, I might walk out of here healed. Maybe if I'm better, I'll get healed. Maybe if I sin less, I'll be healed. Maybe if, I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe. No, she didn't say any of that. She said, I shall be healed. Woo! I don't know her. I will. But I want to ask her, how did you know that without wavering when you just heard it for the first time? You were just seeing Christ in demonstration. How did you have that faith? Because can I tell you something? That's radical faith. It's radical faith. Verse 29, immediately, how many know, with her God wasted no time. For some of us, sometimes it takes a year. For me, in my situation, it took a year. And then I got my healing. I had to walk it out. But God will deal with you as you need to be dealt with. I'm convinced of that. God healed her immediately. He said, you know what? I ain't got no time. I want her to know who I am today without ever wavering, unequivocally, to know that I'm not only Christ's Savior, but I'm Christ's healer. Immediately. Timing is important to God. And you know, even immediately speaks of a time frame. Now, I'm not a scientist, so I don't really know how a nanosecond is measured, but it's supposed to be less than a second. So I don't know if immediately is less than a second. But whatever it was, he healed her fast. Fast. Why? For God's sake or for her sake? For her sake. For her sake, he healed her immediately. The fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt something. She felt in her body, she felt that she was healed of the affliction. Promise fulfilled immediately. I am the healer and I'm fulfilling it now, immediately in your life. Immediate promise fulfilled. Hallelujah. Why some take so long? I don't know. Why God did immediately? I'm not really sure. The Bible doesn't tell us, so I can only speculate and try to go to other stories, other chapters that will confirm. But I know timing is important to God. God has a purpose for the timing. With her, it was immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power, let me tell you something about power. Hallelujah. When you read different translations in the Bible, some Bibles use the word power. Other Bibles use the word virtue. Who has virtue in their Bible, in their translation? Because I want you to understand something. This is very important. And we're reading verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power, my Bible says power, yours says power. Does any other Bible here say virtue? Yours says virtue. Okay. So in different translations, you'll have power and you'll have virtue. But I want you to understand this today because I thought about that. And sometimes different translations will use different words, but they have to line up with the message of God. They have to line up with the message of God. See, whether they use power or virtue, it's got to line up with the purpose of God. So you need to maybe do a little more research, a little more study. So I did. And power talks about the strength of the Lord. When you think of power, you think about the strength of the Lord. You think about the ability of God, okay? You think about his power to rise from the dead. You wouldn't say the virtue of God. You'd say the power of God rose from the dead. Hallelujah. And our God is a strong God. Everything. The Bible says a fortress, a strong tower. Almighty is our God. We think of God as the Lion of Judah. And he is. So when you think of a lion, I don't know about you, but I see a fierceness, a power, the king of the jungle. He's the king of kings, not just the jungle, but everything that is not jungle. He's the king of, amen? So when you think of power, I want you to see that in who God is and who your Christ is. But then virtue, why virtue? See, because when I think of virtue, I don't think of strength, like muscle strength that you were talking about. We need some muscle strength to put these boxes together. I wouldn't say we need some virtuous men to put these boxes together, right? But we need strong men to put these boxes together. So virtue, why would some Bibles say virtue and others say power? Well, here's why. Because God possesses both. God is virtue and God is power. So what is virtue? Virtue is moral power. God is virtuous. He's powerful morally. What does that mean? It is character, the integrity of the Lord, the honor of God. When he says something, God will do it. God will fulfill his word. God is a promise keeper. He's not a covenant breaker. God keeps his covenant. That speaks of moral power. It speaks of excellence of his soul, the wholeness of his soul. It speaks of he is a holy God, a clean heart. But both virtue and power speak of dunamis. Dunamis means so explosive even as unto dynamite. His virtue was so explosive that, see, he could be the dynamite in the darkness. That he could dynamite and shatter evil by his virtue alone. Because he's so good. His light is so bright. He is the light. Dispels darkness as dynamite would shatter something. And yet powerful, because even the enemy can't withstand him. As powerful as some people think the enemy is, God is more powerful. God has bigger muscles. Amen? God is so holy that anything unclean in his midst is dissolved. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power, virtue, had gone out of him, he turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Why would this certain woman come so far? I don't know how long she was waiting before she made her way to him. I don't know how many people she had to push out of the way. I don't know that she stood in line for hours. But why would she come so far and have him there and not just touch his hand or touch the tip of a finger or fall to her feet and touch his feet? Why would she just settle for touching even maybe a thread from his garment? Because you see, later on, the story tells us that she then spoke to him and told him the whole truth. Did you not read that? Let's just read it again. Verse 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, Now that is in awe. She's in awe of him. I got news for you. When we see him face to face, we will be trembling. Not fear like afraid, but in awe of all that he is. His majesty, his glory, the light, the love. You know, sometimes there's a force so powerful, you're not afraid of it, but it's so holy, you begin to tremble. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, she came and fell down before him and then told him the whole truth. Can I tell you what part of that truth is? See, not only was this woman sick, by that I mean a disease. Whatever that caused, that flow, that hemorrhage for 12 years, that's a sickness. But you see, in the community that she was in, the Jewish nation, she was like a leper, isolated, kept aside. She couldn't come and have communion with people. Why? Because Jews thought that the issue of blood from her body made her wholly unclean. The Jews related an issue of blood when their women, daughters, wives, sisters, mothers, had their menstruation, they wouldn't touch them or come near them. That was considered unholy, unclean. Some of them had to separate them, the women, from the room. They couldn't eat with them. They couldn't sup with them. They couldn't be near with them. Because in the Jewish mindset, that meant the woman was unclean, equated to unholy. So this woman would never, ever touch a man, let alone Jesus. Her shame contained her. Her shame restricted her. So not only was this woman sick for many years, but the shame that she bore for all those years contained her, restricted her, kept her away. How many know shame can do that? Maybe humiliation too. Maybe they, you know, I've read in stories, you don't read it in this story, but when a woman would come in through the streets and they knew that she was unclean, they would shout it out as though she were leper. Unclean. She had the obligation to cry out, unclean, and you would step away from her. Just like lepers. Imagine that. Imagine that. Walking through a community where you live and you have to say, unclean, unclean, and everybody steps away from you. Like you've got some fun. Imagine the shame of that. Not for a week. Not for a month. Not for a year. How many friends do you think she had? How many neighbors stopped in and brought her a plate of food? Maybe none. I don't know. But she fell to her feet and she told Jesus the whole story of her life. Because at that point, she still didn't know that he knew everything about her life. And the reason why she was there, because God ordained it when she was in her mother's womb. See, but she didn't know those things yet. See, God had that appointment scheduled when she was in her mother's womb. Are you following me? Verse 31, but his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this. How many know that faith touches Jesus? Because truth be told, she didn't touch his body, did she? She just went in the back of him and was happy to touch just his head. If there would have been a thread hanging out, maybe just a little thread. She never really touched Jesus with her hands, but she touched him with her faith. See, your faith will touch Jesus. Your faith will open doors and give you access to so much more of Jesus than you even can think or imagine. Faith opens the door to Jesus. Her faith touched him. And he knew exactly who it was. He just wanted to turn and look at her because he had a statement that he was going to say to her. He wanted to look at her and say, I'm about to say something. I want to look at you. And this is what changes her life forevermore. And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. He knew who had done that, but he wanted to look at her and see her. How many know when you want to talk to somebody? Personally, I just think it's so rude if we're sitting at a table and I'm talking to you and you're on your iPhone and you're texting and you're, you know, or whatever, or I'm talking to you and you're looking over there. I don't know. I find that a little rude. I'd like us to look at each other eye to eye, or at least look, acknowledge. I think that's courtesy and I think that's respect. I also think it's honoring that individual. And so God turns around. Jesus turns around to talk to her. And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, she's in awe. She can't believe it. Jesus now is there and he's talking to her and he's looking at her. She's trembling. She's in awe, knowing what had happened to her. Now she falls down and she tells him the whole story. Maybe all these 12 years, now she's sharing it with him. And look at verse 34. Wow. See, she didn't even come for this. She came to be healed, but she gets saved. And he said to her, he said, he didn't just think it. He said it. How many know I'm so glad God thinks of me, but I like it when he talks to me. I like it better when he sings to me. And he talks to me every day. Maybe not in the audible voice, like you're hearing my voice, but all I need to do is open up this Bible and God is speaking to me personally. He's sending me love letters personally. He's sending me messages personally. As long as I read this word, I have instant, direct communication with God. God is speaking today. And he says to her, daughter. Do you realize that she walked on the scene a stranger, but she left a daughter? She came to be healed, but what? She got saved. She got redeemed. Powerful thing about, not only did she have healing, but she received an inheritance for her and her family, because now she's a daughter of the king. She brought home the benefits of being a daughter. Can you imagine how she's impacting her community now, impacting her family? Because now she's the daughter of the king. See, some of you might come for healing, but you might walk out just saved. And can I tell you what you get with salvation? The whole package. The whole package. She just came for one thing. She walked out with the whole package. She now has access to everything that God is and has. She has access to every promise of God being fulfilled in her life. She just came for one of his promises, healing. Christ the healer, he came to heal. She just came for that. But she left, went home with the whole package from Genesis to Revelation. And that's how God is. He'll do above and beyond. He'll do above and beyond. And he says, daughter, your faith. What made her well? Her faith in him. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Now she gets shalom. Because she didn't come in peace. She was in fear. She was in trembling. She was in shame. She was in humiliation. She didn't think she could go and touch him. I'm not here to touch him. I know I'm unclean. I can't touch him. I'm just going to grab a little edge of his hem of his garment and I'll be happy with that. But now not only can she touch him, now she's his. Now she's got inheritance. Now she's got rights. She's got privileges. She's got benefits. She's got it all now. Hallelujah. See, you come to Jesus as a stranger, but you walk out as a child of the Most High God. Your faith has made you well. 35, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, oh, that's another story. I don't want to go into that story. But we got stories after story after story. Because, you see, we were talking about the continuous flow. I think Pastor Roel was talking about, and so the blessings, right? The oil was continuous, and the flour was continuous. And so, because when God's on the scene, there's no end. How many know God without end? God infinity. He's not just sending me one paycheck. As many paychecks as I need, God is sending me. See, if I need to be healed 10 times, 20 times in my lifetime, God is Christ the healer. I will be. Can you believe that? Sometimes I need to be encouraged when I wake up and when I go to sleep. How many know God isn't just saying, Aida, I encouraged you yesterday. I'm not going to encourage you today again. He'll encourage me as many times as I need to be encouraged. Amen? Amen? You have access to him now as his daughter. She has access to him now as a daughter. She has rights. Do you understand that? Now she has covenant rights. I'm going to close with this. I want us to read some scriptures here. Because you see, you got to think it, you got to say it, and then you've got to act on it. That's what faith is. What does the word say? Faith without is, well, what does dead faith do for you? So don't bother. Stay home. Watch a soap opera. Go to see a game. Because see, faith without works is dead. You tell me, oh, I am a faithful warrior. I am. Okay, what are you doing? Let me see some works. Now, God isn't all about works, but faith without works is dead. And dead faith does nothing for you nor for God. It doesn't touch God. It's living faith that touches God. Okay, go with me to the book of Psalms 57. Hallelujah. How many like this woman, this certain woman? You know you're going to get to meet her someday. Hallelujah. Psalm 57. I want us to say this out loud. Because you see, not only do we need to read it, reading means you're thinking it. But now we're going to speak it out loud. Amen? Verse 7. Now yours may read differently, but that's okay. We're going to read it out loud. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and I will give you praise. Hallelujah. Let's do that again. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give you praise. Now you realize that there's a repetition here. Do you know? And with this certain woman, the Bible says she kept saying. She kept saying. There is power in the repetition. Okay? And in the Bible, you will come across many repetitions. Why? Because the reader, God, through the Holy Spirit, because this is the inspired word of God. This is the living, anointed word of God. You keep saying it, and God's saying, the more they say it, the more they're going to hear it. And the more they hear it, the more their faith is going to build. See, because faith grows. Faith doesn't just, you know, when I accepted Jesus Christ at the age of 8, God gave me a certain amount of faith to be able to receive him as the Savior. That's the Holy Spirit's job, to come upon you, to give you that faith, to be able to believe and to receive him. I did that when I was 8 years old. But how many know over the years I've had to build my faith? I've had to build my faith. If I was still trying to work in my life with the faith that I have when I accepted Jesus Christ, I'd be such a wounded soldier. I would have lost many battles by now. But see, my faith grew to be able to believe. And how did my faith grow? I heard the word. I heard the word. I heard the word. Then I put the faith that I have into action, into action, into action. And my faith grew. And how many know my faith still has growth places? I still need to stretch it some more. See, for what lies ahead? See, life without my husband, I have no clue what lies ahead. I need faith for tomorrow without him. I need faith for today without him. Because for the last 52 years, he's been by my side. How many knew God prepared me yesterday with all that I had to do by faith so that without my husband, I can still walk this life by faith in Christ Jesus? Do you understand that? And everything I've had to endure was there for a purpose, never to destroy me, to grow my faith in Christ, to be able to believe that who he is for me and in me and through me. And so my heart is steadfast. Somebody needs to say this again. My heart is steadfast. Oh God. My heart is unshakable, unmovable. My heart is upon the rock. My heart believes in you. I will not be moved. I will not be shaken. I will not waver. I will not doubt. My heart is steadfast. Oh God. Hallelujah. Go with me to the book of Matthew. Is somebody happy here today? Hallelujah. God preaching you happy today? Because he preaching me happy. Even as I speak about this, my faith is growing. Right now, right before your eyes, you may not see it, but my faith is growing. God is doing, you know how she felt something? She felt like healing had come into her body. Right now, I feel like God is stretching my faith. He says, Aida, you don't know it, but I'm stretching your faith right now for tomorrow, for next week, for next month, for next year. I hope he's doing the same with you. Matthew chapter 19. Okay, let me get there. Matthew, I'm almost done here. Matthew 19. Okay. Verse 26, because we're going to do this out loud. Because you see, it's not just about thinking this. It's about speaking this. Are you with me in Matthew 19, verse 26? When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who?" No, that's not 26, that's 25. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Hallelujah. How many know this certain woman? 12 years, saw many physicians, had many treatments. With men, her cure was not possible. But immediately with Christ, it was possible. Hallelujah. See, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Say this with me. Let's start in verse 26. But Jesus looked at them. And said to them, in other words, Jesus is looking at you right now. And this is what he's saying to you, but I want you to say it to him. Okay? Together. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. What are you believing for? It's possible with God. You're believing for a new house? Possible with God. You're believing for a healing, a cure? Possible with God. You're believing for a miracle? Possible with God. You believe for a new car? Possible with God. Are you believing for your marriage to be restored? Possible with God. Are you believing for that child to get off of drugs? Possible with God. With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. But you gotta believe. You got to believe. Hallelujah. And then go with me to Philippians 4. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm believing more and more every day. Because every day, see, honestly, to be absolutely honest with you, I've always understood Christ is the groom and we are the bride. I've always understood that. But my understanding was based upon my groom being right by my side. I want you to try to understand what I'm saying to you today. And how could I have a different perception? Yes, he's my groom. And thank you that I'm your bride and you love me like a groom should love a bride. I got that. But when my groom in the physical was called to be home with him, I had to get a revelation. And sometimes you can't get that revelation till you walk it out. Philippians 4, verse 13. If you've got it, go ahead and read it out. Come on, that's so weak. Talk about strength and look at that. Through Christ who gives me strength. Don't sound like he's giving you much strength this morning. Come on, read this out. That's right. You can do all things. This is so personal. It's not about the one sitting next to you. Let that person believe. It's not about the one sitting to the left of you. Let that person believe. This is about you. Read it one more time. Me, who strengthens me. Who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, God will see you through every storm, every single one. There is not a storm, there's not a circumstance, there's not a situation in your life that God is blind to. He's never too busy for anything that's going on in your life that matters to you. Never too busy. He's never, oh, I've got a gazillion other daughters and sons over here. I can't deal with you today. No, God will deal with you today. God will be there with you today. You need him on a boat with you, he'll be on that boat. You need him to be on that cruise ship with you, he'll be. You need him to be in Las Vegas, he'll be in you need him to be here in Carson, Wilmington, he'll be here with you. You need him in this church, he's in this church. You need him in your life. He's in your life to the degree that you allow him to be in your life. I need God to be in my life now like a groom. Let's go ahead and stand. So I have a question for you this morning. What is the thing that you keep saying? I know what the certain woman kept saying. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. She kept saying that. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. What are you saying? What is the thing that you keep saying? I want you to think about that. Maybe you need to change what you keep saying. Today's the day to do that, if that's what you need to do. Or maybe you need to keep saying what the Word of God says and believe it. So I want you to take that moment to reflect. What have I been saying? What am I repeating over and over and over again? Because brothers and sisters, it's time to believe the Word of God. It's time to trust God. See, I don't trust God because I feel good today. I don't trust God because the report came in and it's a good report. I don't trust God because things are looking up. I trust God because I have such a relationship with him that no matter what, he is God and he's faithful to his word. Like that certain woman, it's time to press in. It's time to press in. What does that mean? Make the effort. Let some things go that occupy your life, your interest, your passions, and your time. Whatever that may be. Whatever it is that's occupying your focus, your thoughts, your abilities, your energy, your finances that does not agree or align with the word of God, loose it and release it today in Jesus' name. It's just become a stumbling block. It's just become a blunder. It's become a boulder on your path to God fulfilling his promises in your life. Press in today to the heart of God. Press in today and believe, maybe like you've never believed before. Press in today and trust God. Press in today and say, God, you are number one in my life. You are my priority. You are Alpha. You are Omega. You are the center of my life. Press into God and say, when I sing, when I say you are Lord, you are. You're the Lord of my life. My life belongs to you. Father God, I just want to thank you. This certain woman came to be healed, but she walked out saved. And the evidence of that was she came as a stranger, but walked out identified. She walked out identified as daughter. Hallelujah. You gave her identity, daughter. Today we are daughters and we are sons. That's who we are in Christ Jesus. She came for healing, but she got the whole package. Lord, whatever they've come for today, give them the above and beyond, the whole package, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Not only did she get what she wanted, but God gave her what she needed. She needed Christ the Savior. She wanted her healing, but she got the Savior. When you have Christ, you have it all. And so, Lord, I just want to thank you that you are touching lives today. You are moving in our midst today. You are revealing your heart and who you are, Lord Jesus. That if there's shame, humiliation, Lord, a sense of failure, defeat, Lord Jesus, on any one of your sons and daughters, we break that today in the name of Jesus. God says, you're my son. You're my daughter. Korabashe. If you came with an ailment today, God is saying, I am Christ the healer. I am here for you. If you lost and have gone adrift, gone cold or lukewarm toward God, God is saying, I'm ready to stir up the flames again. I'm ready to stir up the fire in your belly again. I came to ignite you, to set this church on fire. Oh, Rabashe. Set the house of God on fire. Set your bride on fire again for you, Lord. No other lovers before her. No other priorities in her life but you. So, Lord, we come surrendered. We come yielded. We come hungry, Lord. Hungry. Doesn't matter if you've been in the things of God 20, 30, 50 years. God is saying, hunger after me, thirst after me. I will feed you and I will quench your thirst. Hallelujah. If you've come mournful, depressed, downcast, God is saying, I'm the joy of your life and my joy will strengthen your feeble bones. Lift up your head from whence your strength cometh. Hallelujah. And so I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this precious, precious assembling of the saints, Lord. I thank you for my brothers and sisters here, Lord. I know that you have something so good for them, mighty for them, Lord, above and beyond what they prayed for and asked for, above and beyond what they believed for. Lord, some people are just settling for second best. But you're the God that is the first, the number one, the priority, the miraculous, the majestic, the supernatural. When you're a daughter or a son, you don't have to settle for second best. You don't have to settle for leftovers. God came to give you all. He died for you. Lord, you just could have taken the crown of thorns upon your head. That would have been good. You could have just taken the stripes. That would have been good. You could have just been crucified. That would have been good. You could have just walked the Via Dolorosa. That would have been good. But you died for us. And then you rose for us. You gave it all to us, Lord Jesus. We lack for nothing. We lack for nothing. And so we just thank you today, Lord, Holy Spirit, help us to express our gratitude. Help us to tell you how thankful and grateful we are for the things you've done and what you're doing, Lord. Help us to acknowledge that our future is bright. Our future is bright because it's in your hands. And so, Lord, we thank you for the honor of inviting us to join in the Sabbath. We thank you for the privilege of being able to sing your praises and speak your word. We lift up a praise. We lift up a hallelujah to you and you alone. We sing praises unto your name, God of God and kings of kings, God over America, God over his church, God over his people. We thank you. We praise you. We give you all the glory. And the people of God, we say, amen, amen.